You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. This is a phrase made famous by Vince Lombardi, the famous Green Bay Packers coach, of course. And I was introduced to it at Thompson High School some time ago on the practice facility there for our football team. And I would have loved to have heard it in the fourth quarter at a very inspiring moment, but unfortunately I heard it in a very manipulative time. We were doing two-a-days in the hot summer sun, and this was during conditioning, running back and forth to get in shape. And the coach would yell at the top of his lungs, "Winners never quit and quitters never win." And I was thinking to myself, "Coach, I wish you would quit. I don't want to run another moment. Get me a Coca-Cola and get it now." But that phrase goes to sort of our worldly logic, our worldly knowledge, that that we shouldn't give up. I mean, that's obvious, right? And anything that we do, we should not give up. That's the typical worldly, and I mean that not pejoratively when I say worldly, just natural wisdom, if you will, whether it be in athletics. And don't let my looks deceive you. I was our team's greatest bench warmer. Whether it's in athletics or hobbies or schooling or your career, it's good advice not to give up. It's good advice not to quit if you want to succeed. Now, good advice is great, but I don't think that's why you came this morning. I don't think you're looking for good advice. So in the face of that, which is obvious that we should try our best and never give up and never quit, St. Paul comes with a different message this morning, perhaps a little bit more sobering, when he says these words, "You have died." You have died. A little heavy, I know, for 11 o'clock, although you've had time to get coffee in you. I feel bad for those souls at 7:30. That's the first thing they heard this morning. But it's tremendously good news. Now, on the face of it, it seems terrible. I've died? What are you talking about? But Paul talks about, in the face of God's goodness, that we in baptism were baptized into Christ Jesus' death. And similarly enough, we'll be raised up in a resurrection like his. And so what seems like bad news, you have died, is actually the best news that you and I can hear this morning, that we are united with Christ in his death and united with Christ in his resurrection. I know that's heavy to hear, but that's the truth. And you know, when I was in seminary, I loved kind of dealing with these heavy topics. It was just a hobby of mine, if you will, and I still am into it, obviously, just nature of what I do professionally. But I used to notoriously trap my wife in the car. We'd go on road trips, and I had a captive audience. I could talk about these kind of things. And as it turns out, she actually loves subjects like this, but it's just good. Here's more good advice you didn't ask for. If you're single here today, don't date a seminarian. That's just the best advice you could get this morning. Marry them beforehand, perhaps, marry them after, or date, but not while they're there. They're going through a phase. But I loved talking about things like this. And again, St. Paul is probably not the kind of person that you would invite to a dinner party. "Oh, St. Paul, how are you doing this evening? How's your dinner?" "You are dead." That's what he would respond. But again, he means this not as bad news, but this is the best news that you and I can hear. Now, in the face of all of our efforts to do well, to never quit, to succeed, to be successful, Paul is saying, here's actually the good news. You have died, and as he says in Colossians, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Pop-level Christianity tells us to try harder. That's the answer. Try harder. Never quit. Give more. Do more. Follow the law all that you can. But Paul has nothing to do with that. Paul says, you have died. You're dead. And in Christ, you are raised up. Now, why is that good news? I think back to Luther, Martin Luther, his own experience. You know, like St. Paul, he could check every box. He believed all the right things in theory. He did all the right things. He prayed. He fasted. He read Scripture. He even flogged and beat himself. And it tormented him that despite all that effort, despite all that never quitting to succeed and win, he never could achieve and feel God's righteousness. Until he was reading Paul's letter to the Romans, and he found that righteousness only comes by grace through faith alone. That's it. It's a gift. It's sheerly a gift. not by our efforts, not by trying harder. And unfortunately, as you and I hear the word of the gospel, the word of grace, and we're captivated by it, we're drawn to it, the church at large can quickly spoil it by throwing the law back onto us. We've been freed from its grasp only to come back and return to it with more tasks to do. Now, I'm not making light of sin. I'm not making light of our efforts. Paul is talking about sin here. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, he says. But the answer is not, don't try, or excuse me, try harder. His answer is, you have died. It's not pour more effort in. His answer is to reveal the truth to you, that your life as you know it is behind you. You have died. I don't know what it is about Netflix series. I keep 2 weeks ago I talked about Stranger Things. Today it's Peaky Blinders. I don't know if you've seen the series. I feel like we should send Netflix a pledge check, or pledge card rather, for all the things, all the business they're getting. But Peaky Blinders is about it's this gang in Birmingham, England, and they're bookies. They bet on horses, and they're trying to build their empire. The protagonist is a guy named Thomas Shelby, and he's not a good guy. Just so you know, he's a gangster. He's a thug. But in the show, he's the protagonist. And at the end of season two, he's found out. He's caught. He's arrested. And it seems like it's all coming down. His empire is going to crumble. And so upon being arrested, they dig a grave for him, and they put him in the grave, and they're ready to execute him. But on his face, counterintuitively, he's not shocked. He's not in horror. He's not scared. He's relieved. Because the life that he's built, he knows is a lie. The life that he's been living is curated and managed and controlled, and it's exhausting him. And so for him, death is freedom. He can no longer fall into that old way of life. He can be freed by death. Well, the plot twist in this particular episode is he doesn't die. He's saved. He's rescued. At least he thinks so. The person who saves him says, get out of that grave. Winston Churchill has a job for you. This takes place in post-World War I England. And his face transforms from hopefulness and peace to burden, to despondency, to difficulty. Because he's now got to return back to that life. And those words, Winston Churchill has a job for you. The law creeps back in. He thought he was free, and now he's entangled back into it. Well, friends, I hold that out as an image of, unfortunately, what Christianity at its worst can do to you and to me. We've been saved by grace through faith. We're ready. We've accepted our fate. We've accepted our death and resurrection in Christ. And then legalism creeps back in and says, I've got a job for you. Try harder. Do more. Be something. And the world all around us is already giving us that message, to be something, to try harder, to do more. And the church is the last place in which we should be hearing it as a burden. No, the good news this morning is not try harder, not give more effort, not never quit. The good news is, in Christ, the score has already been settled. As he said on the cross, it is finished. Your strivings now cease. And the old Adam has been buried in baptism, and the new man and new woman has been brought to new life in Jesus Christ. And that's tremendously good news for you and for me. We're not enslaved to the law anymore. We're not enslaved to legalism. We're not enslaved ultimately to ourselves. And so Paul's antidote to sin, Paul's antidote to failure, Paul's antidote to rebellion is not to try harder, but to hear the good news over and over again, that you are loved and you are forgiven. Yes, even despite your best efforts, you are loved and forgiven. God is not holding that back on account of Jesus Christ. He has dealt with it. The score is settled. And so if you're anything like Martin Luther or St. Paul or anybody else in this world who just feels like they're spinning their wheels trying to improve, Paul's message, the word of Christ to you this morning is, you are made righteous on account of Christ's work. And there's nothing you can do to change that. And so now the invitation, not the burden, the invitation is to live into that. In freedom, in thanksgiving, in joy. And so as we worship and gather this morning, it's not out of duty, but it's out of thanksgiving, because God has shown his love for us by giving himself for us. My greatest fear in the church is that we don't hear this message, and we don't hear it over and over again, and we forget who we really are. And we fall back into that pattern of thinking, I can fix it. I can do it. I mean, how many of you have just tried, say, don't sin, and just bared down and tried as hard as you could? It doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. And for me to wag my finger and say, don't do it, that's not going to work either. The only word we have in the church is, you are loved and forgiven on account of Christ, on account of Him alone. And that word covers each and every one of us this morning. And so it washes over us, and we give tremendous thanks. Let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks that this is all at your initiation, that you've done the hard work on the cross and in the resurrection. And Lord, I pray that each one of us can receive this morning, that it would pour into our lives, that we would know that we are loved and forgiven and redeemed by you and you alone. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.